الحمد لله كفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم واتت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, elders and brothers, as we get further away from the era of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find that the light of nubuwwat and prophethood starts decreasing and diminishing, and there is more darkness that spreads all around. As we can see the times that we are going through, and every coming day will be worse than the previous day. This is as Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had already prophesied and told us of conditions that are going to overcome the ummah. Now when we are going through these trying times, these difficult times, times of fitna and fasad, times when good people are also being consumed into fitna, into haram and into vice, so what should we do at this time? This also Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught his ummah. And there is a lengthy hadith which I don't wish to go into the details of this hadith. But one of the advices Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given: عَلَيْكَ بِخَاصَّةِ نَفْسِكَ وَذَرْ عَنْكَ أَمْرَ الْعَامَّةِ. In those trying and difficult times, mainly be concerned of yourself and don't be too concerned of the general masses. The reason being is you're not going to be able to save the entire world. But who is within your reach, your own self, your own family? Save yourself, save your family from the fitna and the wrongs and the vices that are happening around you. In another ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala explains this: Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O believers, save yourselves and save your families from the fire of Jahannam. And then Allah says this fire of Jahannam is no ordinary fire. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. The fuel of this fire will be people and stones. عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم. They are very firm, stern and strict farishtas around the fire of Jahannam, who will never disobey Allah in the instructions that He gives them, and they do exactly as they are commanded. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is presenting the picture of Qiyamah before us. And respected friends, it's very important throughout our lives, every day of our lives, to keep Qiyamah before you. Because Qiyamah is a reality. Everything around you is making you forget about Qiyamah, but don't ever forget about it. Because Allah says that picture of Qiyamah is, imagine now your own near, dear child, your beloved child, you know, the apple of your heart, someone who you did everything for. But on the day of Qiyamah, when those stern farishtas are given the instructions and commands to take that child, Allah forbid, Allah protect, and fling that child into the fire of Jahannam, what are you going to do about this? Who is going to stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who is going to stop the angels? So while you are here in this dunya, while you are living, while the child is before you, do what you have to do. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, irrespective of how much of time, how much of money you have to spend. You know, people of the past, they would actually hire people, they call them the ataliq, to morally train the child. They would actually hire like a tutor, like how you send your child for tuition. Nowadays a person will send his child for tuition, child is in midstreet, you know, grade 11, grade 10. No, this child needs tuition. Pay for the tuition, send the child for the tuition. But for moral training, they would hire people. This child needs good values instilled in their lives. This child needs to become generous. This child needs to become obedient. This child needs to have respect, have morals. People of the past, they understood the value of this. Today we don't understand the value of these things. The only thing we understand is materialistic things. We can only understand and relate to the value of materialistic things. This materialistic things is nothing. This is just for this dunya. It is a show. It is a beautification. It is an adornment. The reality will open when you close your eyes and you leave this dunya. That is when this dunya is nothing. 60, 70 years. Time is going to pass so fast. You ask the old man now, how many years? 50 years of your time passed, 60 years. Can you remember how that 50, 60 years passed? He will tell you, I can't even remember how it passed. It just went so quick. And that's how our life is. And before you know it, Malakul Maut is knocking at your door. And there he's ready to take you away. Respected friends, your children are your greatest investment. Your greatest investment is your child. What you will put in that child is what is going to come out from that child. The values you're going to instill into that child. Remember, that is your investment. That is your akhirat. That is your reward when you leave this dunya. Waladin Sali in Yadulaw. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said three avenues. Rewards are still going to come to you. One of those avenues is a pious child who will make dua for you. And if you don't give that child deen, you don't give him those morals, you don't give him that piety, you will be lucky if he even reads one Yasin and he says it for you. You'll be lucky. That maybe that first one day, maybe he might just, you know, shed a few tears. And after that, life will continue as normal. But remember, if you are responsible for that bad upbringing, then whatever wrongs is going to do in the future, Allah protect. But just as the rewards will reach you, then the vices and the sins also are going to reach you. So these children are our greatest assets. This is our greatest investment. We need to invest in the children. We need to take out quality time. Our problem today is, we don't have time. Yes, if we do have time, we got it for maybe newspapers. You've got it for Allah protect us, but some people got time for television. People have got time for social networking, to play on their phone. The man got all the time to do that. But now for me to take out some time and teach my child a moral every day, try to give him some good advice, for me to be a practical leader and lead him by example, we don't have time for this in our lives. So this is the thing, we have to take out that time. We all understand in this world, nothing can be done if you don't take out time. If you're not going to allocate time for something, you cannot do nothing. So for everything else, we understand how we have to allocate time. We have to allocate quality time for our wives and children. Even the women folk, they are not coming to the masjids. Many of them don't have exposure to deen. Yes, we're giving them the dunya. Sometimes we're giving them the best of the dunya. You're giving them the best home, you're giving the best of everything. But you're not giving them deen. It is your responsibility as you're providing them with everything else, all the other provisions. It is our responsibility to provide that woman folk with deen. And here we see a good program that is happening. Taaleem is happening in the locality. You see, there's a senior personality, someone having a ladies program. We motivate them, we encourage them, we find out when is the next program happening. So those women folk are also joining those programs and they are also correcting their understanding. They are also thinking right. They are thinking correctly. If your wife will think correctly, your children will think correctly, because who? The children are with most of the time. The first lap of the first madrasa of the child is the lap of the mother. The lap of the mother is the first madrasa. The madrasa, the mother will sneeze, she'll say Alhamdulillah, the child will learn Alhamdulillah. Mother will eat, she'll say Bismillah, she'll say Alhamdulillah, she'll read the du'as. The child will learn all this, because that is the first madrasa. But it is our responsibility. And this hadith I read in the khutbah, wherein Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Kullukum ra'in. Every one of you is responsible. Our problem today is we are trying to run away from our responsibilities. We are shirking in our responsibilities. Each person, no person wants to take any responsibility. That madrasa will have to do that. Or I'm sending the child today, remember there is no one that's going to do that. It is your responsibility. You have to take out time. If over and above that, yes, someone else also does take out the time and dedication to put that child on the right track, Alhamdulillah, the more the merrier. You can never, at no point can you ever be complacent and say, you know what, now Alhamdulillah, this child can never go off. You need to constantly make dua. So Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Kullukum masulun. Every one of you is responsible, and every one of you will be answerable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding his responsibility. There are so many challenges we have got in community. Look at this, this drug abuse, substance abuse, how common in good children coming from good homes. That child was not born with that. His parents never did it. But because the environment has become so vicious around us, it just becomes so easy for a child to be pulled into this. Peer pressure. Sometimes it is friend. Sometimes someone, he's in school with someone. Sometimes he's going out with someone. And how often it is, the father doesn't know anything. The father is continuing with his life. He doesn't know where the child goes. He doesn't know when the child comes back. He doesn't know who is the company of his child. Isn't this our responsibility? Isn't it our responsibility for us to ensure that we know everything that is happening in the lives of our children? And that will only come again here when we take out quality time. Here you speak to your child. You don't need to be hard. You don't need to be harsh. Our problem is, we have got this, you know, many people have got the sickness of complaining, condemning, and, you know, this sickness they have got every time they're looking for something to pick out on. Now you're always picking out on the child. Now this is definitely not going to aid your mission. It's just not going to aid, you're not going to aid your responsibility and your task. You need to learn now to speak to the child with wisdom. Speak with love, with muhabbat. One person asked a wise man that I've got a problem with my child. So what is the solution? And you know, what is the medication that can administer to put this problem right? So the wise man told him, you will have to give love to that child. You have to give love. And respected friends, we don't realize it, but those children are craving for our attention. Sometimes they don't say it. They may not say it with words, but it is something within them that they are lacking. They are lacking that attention. They are lacking that love. And when they don't get that attention and they don't get that love, then where will they look for it? They will look for it somewhere else. They will look for it outside the house. Sometimes they will look for it in wrong habits. And that is the reason why the child is going to go off the line. And then I'm trying to think now about what went wrong. What did I do? Often it is we ourselves to blame. So the wise man told him that you need to give the child love. And love is going to solve the problem. So then he asked the person, but what if that does not work? What if that remedy does not work? So the wise man told him, increase the dosage. It means you're not giving enough. You need to give more. If you're telling the doctor, he's telling you, not, you need to give 2 tablets. The pain is not gone. Well, take 4 tablets now. So now you need to increase that dosage. But again, the solution to the problem is that now we have to give attention to these children. We need to give love to them. We need to show them that we care about them. We don't bark at them and scream at them and shout at them and criticize them. Because once we start doing this here, then you lose the respect of the child and you lose the confidence of the child. Immediately the child, and that is exactly what happens. We are, you know, in our own world. We are just doing everything else besides worrying about the child. Here you see something went wrong. Let the child come with the report and the marks are not good. And here the father starts screaming. He starts swearing. He starts shouting. The mother is shouting. The father is shouting. This is not going to do anything. This is sometimes going to make the situation even worse now. Because now the child feels, I've got no support. I've got a problem, whatever the problem be. Often, you know, there's so many problems because people are gone psychologically. How many children are suffering with depression? How many teenagers are now suicidal? Something that we never heard of before. When we were youngsters, you know, a teenager was always free, running around, you know, wants to do something, wants to get involved in activities, wants to play sports. What's the problem now? This child now is stuck with that tablet, stuck with that device, got all this technology, and Allah knows what goes wrong. But now, eventually, the child ends up with a depression now. Now you need to take the child to a counselor. You need to take the child to a psychologist, to a psychiatrist. You need to put the child on medication. But respected friends, remember, often, I cannot say all the time, but often it is we as parents to be blamed. Because we do not take out the time. So we need to, first of all, make a lot of dua for our children. Remember this year, after every namaz, make dua for your children. Make this time is a very dangerous time. If Allah protected someone, you need to make so much of shukr. You can never make shukr, sufficient shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you know what is happening outside and what problems people are going through. Every day make dua. Second thing, take out time for moral training. Think of ways now. How I'm going to explain this concept to this child? I need this child to understand Allah provides, not your business, not your career, not materialism. I need to let this child understand this. One person, one alim in India, senior alim Sheikhul Hadith, his son was also studying in the madrasa. One day he tells his son, let's go to the zoo. Completely off his norm, you know, not someone like who will normally go to the zoo. Man is so busy, always busy with kitabs and researching. He doesn't have time for this. The son was also quite surprised now. Father just tells me, let's go to the zoo. So he goes to the zoo and they sing all the different animals. Eventually he shows him the khinzir, the swine. He says, you saw this. He says, yes, this is a swine, it's a khinzir. You know, this is a haram animal. He says, but can you see that there's food in front of that khinzir? Can you see that it's eating? Child said, yes. So he says, the reason why I brought you here was to teach you this lesson. That same Allah that is feeding that khinzir, that same Allah will feed you. Don't worry about your sustenance. Don't let that trouble you. Don't lose sleep over it. Very often happens, someone going to the madrasa, you know, you'll have people, all people around to come in, you know, make different comments. Hey, you going to the madrasa? You going to study? Who's going to feed you? What's going to happen to your future? Things are so tough out there. Who's going to put food on the table? Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that same Allah who is feeding you, that same Allah will feed that person. Allah doesn't need anyone's rosy, but it is a deficiency of our yaqeen. The problem is in our conviction. We don't have that yaqeen on Allah. We say, no, Allah is the provider. But yes, definitely, we know you have to do something. No one is saying you must sleep at home and don't do nothing and expect the rosy to come from the skies. We all understand that. But this man has tread the line of deen. He once went in the path of Allah. He is doing good work. Why do you want to stop him from doing that good work? Encourage him, motivate him, give him good words. Maybe I could not send my child, or I could not go. But this person is going, alhamdulillah, Allah accept your efforts. Allah make everything easy for you. Allah make you successful in this dunya and the year after. And sometimes, some of those people are even more successful than professional people. And you will see it with your own eyes. Although the man gave his whole life for deen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. Allah doesn't need any degree to provide for someone. Or any intellect or any education. You know, you have to have this level. In fact, some of the most richest people in this world are illiterate. They can't even sign their own name. You'll get people like that in India and Pakistan. So remember, if Rosi was dependent on people's intellect, then the animals would have all died of starvation. Because they don't have intellect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. So as I mentioned, respected friends, this alim took his child to the zoo to teach him this lesson. So we need to make dua for our children. We need to be practical examples for them. Your child will see what you're doing and he will follow you. And then we need to take our time for moral training. We need to take our time to give them good advices. You heard a nice story in a bayan. You heard a nice, go home and share that story with your child. Call your child, make him sit down. Today I want to tell you a very, very interesting story. And you know, a thought-provoking story. And inshallah, in this way, we will make a concerted effort. And not to forget, the most important thing is salah. From the age of 7 already, get your child to the masjid. Teach him the road to the masjid. And inshallah, you teach him the road to Jannah. We will leave this dunya, but we will leave the flag bearers behind us. We will leave our assets behind us. We know those children are responsible enough to take care of their mother, take care of their siblings. And inshallah, they will pass on that knowledge to the next generation. And in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us and Allah will bless our progenies. May Allah grant us the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.